Thanks for listening to the Champ Off-Road Podcast presented by AMSOIL.
Welcome to the Championship Off-Road Podcast presented by AMSOIL. I'm Shane Stetsny. On this episode, Brent Smith and I will have a conversation with Zach Schimmick from ProLite. And I also had a chat with Wildman Willie Freshour from Super Stock Truck. But first, I want to talk about Pro 4. I think Pro 4 should be a serious candidate for the most dramatic class in all the pro classes this year, even with, you know, fields only around 10 trucks. Listen, Pro 2, Pro Lite, huge truck counts, super talented fields, very deep, a lot of competitive drivers. They're going to be fantastic all year. Pro Stock side by side, Pro Mod side by side. Again, very deep fields, ridiculously talented drivers. But do not sleep on Pro 4 for giving us a wild season this year. Go back to last year. Only two drivers won points races, CJ Greaves and champion Kyle LeDuc. Already this year, CJ kicked off a revenge tour, picked up two wins in Antigo, and Kyle LeDuc finished fifth in both rounds. He's already at the point where he can't afford another setback if he wants to compete for another title here in 2021. However, 2021 is not going to be the same two-horse race. We've added in a few new guys and some new drama. So Doug Mattag has come to play in Pro 4. In Pro 2 over the past couple years, he's been absolutely dominant at times, and I honestly think he's going to find his way to the number one spot at some point this year. And then Johnny Greaves. So rumored around the pit area, around the sport, is that Johnny Greaves considering retiring. I don't know whether or not that's true, but I do know that if it is true, Johnny Greaves is not going to go out with a whimper. He's going to want to find his way to the top spot this year to put the final stamp on his career. Again, if that's true. Then there's the wild man, Adrian Chenny, getting some extra seat time racing in one of the UTV classes. But he also found the podium in round two of Pro 4. And he's confident. He said as much on the podium that he's confident moving forward that he's going to be competitive this year. You've got Andrew Carlson, who ran up front last year. He's still trying all different kinds of ways to improve his program from all different angles, including he brought in Corey Kruseman, one of the most accomplished sprint car drivers in racing history, just to help be a driving coach for Carlson. All that is built in already to Pro 4, plus a partial schedule for RJ Anderson. Remember, he's the two-time defending Crandon World Cup champion, and he's coming to play for both Crandon weekends and, I believe, for ERX. Plus, later on this year, Labor Day weekend, per his social media posts earlier this year, Keegan Kincaid is going to re-enter Pro 4. So that's a huge field, you know, plus add in Jimmy Henderson, who's been putting a ton of work into his own program and has great equipment. All those guys, you could make the case any one of those guys could win a race in Pro 4 this year. Like I said, last year had two winners. I'm going to predict that after round 4 in Crandon, we're already going to be up to three different winners in 2021. All that to say, do not sleep on Pro 4. It is going to be as dramatic as any other class in Champ Off-Road, if not the most dramatic class. And now joining me are my co-host, Brent Smith, and from ProLite, Zach Schimmick. Zach, welcome to the show.
Yeah, thank you very much.
Coming out of Antigo, obviously not the weekend that you wanted to have. At the end of last year, you came on really strong. You're a championship hopeful here in 2021, and you ended up 6th and then 17th, so kind of a setback. Coming out of Antigo, how are you going to regroup with Crandon just a few days away?
We kind of went back to the drawing board. I mean, we came to Antigo prepared, and unfortunately, the mechanicals took us out. You know, Saturday we lost a rear brake line, which is just part of racing, and Sunday we got, you know, somebody made contact and ended up taking us out of the race shearing off all the front suspension on the left-hand side. So it's those types of things you just can't avoid. And, you know, the truck is good and everything is fresh. So we'll be ready for Crandon. We just had to fix a few bolt-on parts and get back in the mix.
So aside from your bad luck at Antigo, what's your reaction to the track and the event, you know, after coming back, having not been there in 9 years, short course racing, that is, what did you think of the whole event?
I thought it was awesome. I really liked it. I liked the facility. I liked the atmosphere. It was a neat place. I've actually never raced there. So it was the first time for me, and a little bit different track layout, you know, it was similar to Lena, and I enjoy, you know, having that kind of racing, the door-to-door stuff.
Hey, how's it going, Zach? Brent here.
Good, how you doing, buddy?
Good, good. So after like a hard weekend, like Shane was saying in Antigo, I mean, you talk about getting the truck ready, all new parts, like what goes into it, how many hours? I mean, let everyone know this isn't just a cakewalk, you know, like bring us through what it takes to prep a car.
Yeah, so I guess basically, you know, when we got back Sunday night, immediately Monday, the truck got stripped, cleaned, all that clay was on there, so that was a mess. And then you got to just start inventorying what's bent, what's broke, you know, what's straight and what's not. As soon as I had a list Monday night, I got on the phone Tuesday, started ordering parts right away, which is a challenge in itself. And you really just start having to go through things with a fine-tooth comb, basically, especially when you have a weekend like I did. It's not as bad when you come out clean and unscathed, but when you have a little damage, then you really need to step back and look at the overall picture of the truck. And, I mean, we've been at it every day for the most part. You know, at night, all me and my crew all have full-time jobs, so we work at night, you know, when we're not with our families, and we've got quite a few hours in it already. We were out there till almost midnight last night, and we're all going out there tonight pretty much every night until Crandon. We'll need to put the truck back together. I mean, you have to go top to bottom beyond your regular, you know, maintenance that you do between races, so it's a lot of work. It's a lot of hours, and it takes, you know, more than one person to do it.
I was going to say, Zach, it seems like Pro Light has just challenged you nonstop since you decided to switch over from side-by-sides. You had the crash before the 2019 season when you were first breaking into Pro Light. You had a big crash at Bark River the same year. And then last year, you kind of bottomed out in the middle of the season. You're having a really rough season. And then you came back and you won the World Cup race, and then you won the round eight race on Saturday night in Crandon. So where does that fight that's in you, where does that come from?
I think most of it is just being surrounded by my team and family, and they and sponsors as well, and partners. They put so much time and effort into this that even when I think about, I don't want to say giving up, but some days you wonder if you should throw the towel in. You know, you think about them and all the time and the effort and all their vacation they spent and their money and their time away from their families and things that they've missed to help me. And, you know, at the end of the day, it's not just about me winning a race or me doing well or me doing bad, but it's with the team as a whole and everything that goes into it. We really had no idea what we were getting into with Pro Light when we started it. We bought a truck and, you know, we had five guys that didn't know anything about it or any truck racing for that matter, other than just watching it. And we just kind of dove in and, you know, made a lot of phone calls and got a lot of good advice, got a lot of bad advice. And just each year we sort through it. Last year I had bought Ryan Beat's truck, so we know it was a great truck. And, I had to get comfortable. It was like starting over basically. And I was still coming off of a pretty bad wreck at Bark River. So that was in my head a bit. And we just put our head down and just kept working at it every weekend. And we started getting faster and I started getting comfortable and we were figuring it out as a team, figuring out what worked, what didn't work. You know, initially, when we started ProLite, it was like, okay, let's just figure out how to drive this thing. And then now we've progressed into the finer details and making adjustments, making changes. I'm a lot more in tune with what the truck is doing. I still have a very long way to go, but we're definitely getting there. You know, at the end of the season last year, I was on a mission to bring it back and finish out strong. And we were hoping for 3 wins to win out the rest of the season, but I ended up second on Sunday, the last race of the year behind Holter, which was fine. And we made tremendous changes in the off season. We spent a lot of money on the truck, updates. I went to California, by Ryan, and, we have the best of the best equipment on the truck. And unfortunately, you know, Anago is just one of those things that was out of my control.
Yeah, Zach, and I totally understand. It takes a lot out of you. I mean, especially Anago, you go to a bull ring, and then now we go to Crandon. It's a wide open, horsepower down, just lay it all out on the line. It's going to be crazy because there's so much competition in Pro Light. But last year, you know, you picked up a couple wins. I mean, that confidence is there. You're running against top equipment, but like you just said, you have the equipment as well. So, you know, it's your job to do the homework to make it happen.
Yep. And I'm confident at Crandon. You know, I used to not that I didn't like Crandon, but I just, it was a thing in my head because I crashed there and, you know, just one of those things I had to get over. And then finally, you know, the last season, I was just like, let's go for it. And it obviously paid off.
Right.
You know, but it also going into Anago, I hadn't been in the truck since Crandon last year. I didn't get any test time. My test days got rained out. So just to get back in it at Anago for the first time since last year was, you know, just trying to get comfortable again and find my rhythm and try to get back to where I ended the season, you know, feeling good and feeling confident. And the confidence is there with myself and my team. We got to put together a good weekend, and sometimes you get caught up in racing incidents, and that's one of those things that happened to us, and I try not to hang my head on it because it's nothing we did wrong, and it's just part of the deal.
I totally agree, and I mean, a lot of guys say it. I hear it all the time, and as a kid growing up, I mean, even the late Rick Huseman said 80% of it's luck. I mean, on your side, you know, the rest of it, you really got to have everything together. But at the same time, you can go into turn one, somebody can blow the corner, take you out, your day's done. All that prep work, all that planning just goes right out the window.
Yep, absolutely. And that's what makes it a little frustrating for me, like Anago. You know, these guys put in so much time and they've learned so much and they're willing to learn and they want to, you know, my team. And so then to go out there and make it 3/4 of a lap and get hit 3 times by the same guy and 3/4 of a lap, I'm just like, come on, you know. I'm frustrated for them, you know, but they don't care. We do this as a team. We do this as a family. And sometimes you win and sometimes you lose. And we're confident at Crandon. We got everything straightened out. And you know, we're ready to go, and we're confident with the package that we're going to Crandon with.
Yeah, you're talking about the confidence that your strong weekend late September last year at Crandon gave you. One of the images that'll stick with me forever from that weekend is the photos of you and Johnny Holter up on top of the same truck each night. What's the story behind why you guys shared in that moment together?
Well, so the first night when I won the first night race, I don't know what made me do that. I just was excited to have back-to-back Crandon wins, and I just wanted to share that excitement with someone, and Johnny was there, and he's a young kid, and he's fast. You know, he's a good driver, and we've had some good battles already this year, and I taunt him a little bit, you know, and when we're at like the competition caution and stuff, I'll give him a little ram and let him know if I'm behind him. But you know, he was standing there and I was like, get up here, you know, and pulled him up on the truck. And I was like, let's celebrate together, you know, first and second. And, coincidentally, roles were reversed on Sunday, you know, Johnny won and I was second, and I climbed out of my truck and he looked at me and he's like, all right, your turn, get up here now. So it was just kind of a cool moment, and you know, the crowd's all there and everyone's taking pictures, and it's just neat to share the experience, I guess, with somebody else, you know, rather than stand up there by yourself. That's just kind of how I am, I guess. So.
Awesome. Awesome. Yeah. I mean, it's crazy, the feeling to step up on the truck and then you do it at Crandon. I know everybody's like, oh, I dream of it as a kid, but like, when you really lay it down and you do it, that feeling's like no other feeling in the world. And you know, the best of the best are in AMSOIL Champ Off Road this year. And I haven't seen the numbers in my whole life. I've been going since I've been 3. I know Shane's been there just a little bit behind. You know, he's a little younger than me, but we've been there the whole time of the series changing, everything going up and down. But what we got going on right now, I think it's going to be some of the best racing ever.
Yeah, I agree. It's really turned a corner the last year from where it was and where it was heading. And I kind of fell into all this off-road racing by accident. And it's really cool. You know, I haven't been around as long as some of the guys have been. But it's cool to see it grow, and I think it's on a great path. I mean, Champ's doing a fantastic job in my eyes, compared to the last couple series, you know, people that have ran the series. And the truck counts are huge, and the fans are back. And, I mean, Antigo was packed. For, you know, a small town, small track, that was fantastic to see. And we know Crandon will be packed. So it's I believe it's headed in a good direction, you know.
So you brought up the future, and that leads me into this next question really nicely. I want to talk a little bit about your teammate, your son, Draxton. So he's already a pretty accomplished, you know, off-road racer. Hey, you won the 2019 championship in side-by-side sports and the 170 side-by-sides. So how do you rate his development as a young racer, and, you know, how high is his ceiling moving forward?
Yeah, he's really become a good driver. And I think, like myself and a lot of people, he learns more and more every time he gets behind the wheel. He's been on, you know, snowmobile and four-wheeler since he was 2 years old or 2.5. And I've really just pushed him. And, you know, always with the option that he never had to do this if he didn't want to. And so he does. So he's come a long way as a driver, and we took him out by Johnny and CJ and had him work with them a little bit earlier this year. So that helped him get some different points of view. As much as I don't want to admit it, I have some bad habits on the track, and you know, I don't want to pass those on to him. So I like to have some veterans in the sport, you know, give him some insight rather than just me. But a lot of it is he just figures it out. He can read what's going on out there. And I think it's going to take him places. You know, as long as he wants to do this and he holds up his end of the bargain at school with grades and things, I mean, I'll give him any opportunity he wants. You know, for me, this is it's a hobby. I mean, it's definitely a passion of mine, and I put 120% of my effort and time into it, besides running our businesses. But wherever Draxton wants to go with this, you know, eventually I'm going to let him take the reins and just kind of run with it.
That's awesome. That's so cool for him, and he has come a long way. And, I mean, he gets to look through his father's eyes as well as he grows up. I mean, as a young kid, they just dream of getting to run off-roads if that's what you like. And I'm sure Draxton just loves every minute of it, and he gets to watch his dad as a pro light racer. So, I mean, he sees that opportunity there, and I'm sure he's working as hard as possible to try to make that come true as well.
Yeah, yes, absolutely. And now we've gotten him out in the shop this year, and I'm making him put in the effort a little more than I have in the past. You know, there wasn't much to do on those 170s. So now with this cart, there's actually things he can do. So he's going to put in the effort. You know, all the guys are making sure that he's doing what he needs to do. He wants to keep going with it. He's already looking forward. We had him at 8 years old. I had him in a a Can-Am X3 turbo all tuned. And he was all by himself ripping laps on the track and stuff. And he's already got a vision of what direction he wants to go and what he's going to race next. And he didn't even want to be in a trophy cart. He wanted to be in a mod cart or a side-by-side, but his pit bike was an automatic and he doesn't know how to work a clutch. So I said, well, you got to at least do trophy cart for a year. So then we went and got rid of his 110 and we bought him a 110 with a clutch. And I said, now spend this year learning how to use a clutch and then we'll, you know, then we can talk about moving you up.
That's awesome.
And then I know that there's another important member of the team, so to speak, that so you had a really nice heartfelt post on social media this week talking about your wife, Jenna, and how important she is to your program, too. So I'm going to give you the floor here in front of our whole audience, and you can sing her praises a little bit.
Yeah, so Jenna and I got married last year, last summer, and the weekend before Crandon, before I won the World Cup. So that was pretty cool, back-to-back weekends in my life. You know, that's something I'll never forget, two huge things, you know, some of the biggest moments I've ever had. And she puts in a ton of work, you know, like I had said on Facebook, you know, I was just throwing out a little appreciation and to help remind other racers out there, you know, that most of you aren't doing this alone. And, you know, she puts in the time at home and the time at work, and she works for me now. So she'll handle things in the office while I'm away. And she doesn't just have to take care of me, but she has to take care of Draxton, everything that goes on with Draxton, you know, picking him up, running him around, all this stuff. And I'm just back here working on racing things, you know. So she is a huge, huge part of our life and our race program, because there is no way I could accomplish what we do without her helping. It's cool to have someone like her in my life. And, you know, I hope that everybody finds someone that enjoys what they do as much as she does.
Yeah, it's a family sport, and definitely it shows in a lot of these pit areas, and all the way down to Johnny Greaves' wife, Kathy, to Kyle LeDuc's wife, Amber LeDuc. They all have done it for years and years now, but it's cool to see new blood come in the water and fight for a championship. And I'm proud of you and how far you've come in a short period of time, and I can't wait to get it on the rest of the year. It's going to be crazy this year.
Yeah, no, I'm excited. We're excited. You know, my wife had never seen this racing or, you know, been to it or anything. And the first, you know, when we started hanging out, I was like, hey, I race these trucks or whatever. And I just started. I'm not very good at it, but come out and watch anyways. And gave her a headset and put her on the hill at Crandon. And she was like, oh, my God. And I was like, oh, here's what you're signing up for. And, you know, she adapted quick. And now she's half runs the show. So it's pretty cool. And like you know, you bring up Kathy Greaves and the other women that have been around a long time, and they put a lot of effort and time, and it's neat to see new people, you know, that have never even seen the sport or know it exists, come in and adapt to it so quickly and show interest in it and help out. So yeah, we're ready to kick ass this year and get after it. We got Team Yokohama we're racing for this year, so we got a big name on the side of the truck, and we got a lot of eyes on us, so big shoes to fill.
No, like I said, I'm proud of you, and we're proud of every team that comes out this year and makes it happen, and good luck this year on my end. So, Shane, whatever you have left, buddy.
Yeah, I was just going to say thanks again for joining us. We really appreciate the time. As you said, you're a very busy person, so excuse me, but thank you very much, Zach. We appreciate it. Champ Off-Road fans, remember to visit AmZoil.com for products that protect and maximize performance in all your vehicles and motorized toys. Use the convenient AmZoil product guide to find what you need and get fast, free shipping right to your door. AmZoil, run with us. All right, now joining us on the Champ Off-Road podcast presented by AmZoil from Super Stock Truck, Wildman Willie Freshour. Willie, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Hey, so going back to round two in Antigo a couple days ago, you kind of lived up to that Wild Man Willie name with that huge rollover. You know, walk me through the story. You know, how did you end up upside down on the other side of the K-rail?
We I had some issues with the truck through the race. We just had like air in the brakes or something, possibly from the bent up from some of the damage from round one. And I was pumping the brakes kind of through the whole race. We had to start in the back, and I lost brakes at one point and blew a corner and spun out and went to the back again. And then I kept pumping my brakes, and they seemed like they were finally just working awesome. And then we had mandatory caution, and coming down the straightaway towards that right-hand turn, everybody was kind of grouping up on the right ahead of me. And I decided to just go bonsai on the left as fast as I could and, you know, pass people in the air, you know, where everybody else was slowing down like before the jump and coming in real tight on the corner. And I wanted to go off the jump basically as fast as possible, but land on the brakes and then dart in on the inside and, you know, try to pass like five trucks or something and get back through the pack as quick as I could. And when I landed on the brakes, the brake pedal snapped off, and basically I was out in the loamy dirt kind of going, you know, 20, 30 miles faster than I should have been, you know, like full speed in third gear, so maybe 70, 80 miles an hour, I don't know. And at the last minute, I just mashed the gas and tried to, like, throw the truck sideways, but I was, like, way past the cushion, and it's like I was starting to come sideways. I remember looking out the window, and the whole truck was rolling over, like, really far, which is not normal in a super stock, and the cushion was, like, so close to my window, and I wasn't even on two wheels yet. You know, the chassis was just coming over, and I was just like, man, I'm going way, way too fast, and this dirt is way too loose, and I was like, this is going to be really bad. And the truck just caught, and I tried to pull my elbows in and relax my legs and hold onto my steering wheel. And we spun a bunch, and the truck kind of flipped up and slammed on top of the K-rail right on the driver door and crushed it in and knocked the air out of me. And I'm really lucky that it didn't hit next to my head, really. I don't know if we'd be doing this interview right now. But and then the truck kept flipping and then landed on its tires, and then the crew was there, like, immediately, and they were trying to, you know, get my window net open. It was broken, and I told them, you know, it was okay, and I didn't want to get out of my chair because, I told them it was more comfortable than their recliner at home. I said, I don't need an ambulance, but if I change my mind, I'll let you know, but just pull me back to my pit because I'm going to sit here for about an hour. And they let me do it. They were worried that I was out when they came up, but I wasn't out. I was out of breath from that slam into the driver door. And luckily we run, because Super Stock has so much contact, as kind of a precaution, we have quite a bit more door bar, and it angles out and then back in on our truck. And then we actually run, when our body's on, it looks like we just have one Nerf bar like everybody else does. We actually run another huge Nerf bar inside the body, so they're bolted to each other. So we have like a, kind of like a wishbone of dual Nerf bars, because those took a lot of the force. They bent like 2 feet in. And the truck chassis is kind of shaped like a cashew instead of a straight line now. But, I'm a welder by trade, and we're going to straighten it all out and make it safe, and we'll be at Crandon, I guess. So, you know, the engine runs, so I'm excited. I'm happy that the engine and drivetrain are good. So
that was like the most, you know, down to the roots off-road racer speak I've ever heard, is that you talk about how rough the truck is, but you're like, yeah, we'll be all right. We'll be back out in a couple of days.
Yeah. Well, that's what, you know, that's what everybody does to get these things ready. I mean, what would be crazy to me is somebody having this much damage to their truck and not getting it ready for the race, next race. I mean, you know, you plan your whole year around the champ season with your family and all your friends. And, you know, if you wreck the truck like this and you don't, you know, work on it all night and all weekend, you know, I don't know, you should be planning something else for your week, for your summer. You know? So, I think a lot more, you know, everybody's doing it. Mine's just, you know, more, the amount of adversity is more noticeable after a huge wreck like that.
Sure. So another true blue off-road racer thing that you just did is that you talked a lot about how bad a shape the truck is in, but like, you know, how are you doing after that rollover? I know on Monday right afterwards you were feeling a little bit rough.
Yeah, I'm doing rough. I've been doing a lot of office work at my business. A lot of, less physical tasks. I've been trying to really double down on the office work and work crazy long hours, because then I'm hoping by the end of this week when my body feels good, then I can work, you know, 20-hour days on the truck all weekend is what I'm planning. One of my Kester's crew guys, Isaac, is coming up this weekend. I'm going to stay in our guest room, and some of my other crew is hopefully going to make it here, and we're going to just pound out as much of this truck as we can this weekend, and hopefully by next weekend load everything up early, you know, is always the plan. You never, it always sucks when you're working up to you know, Thursday night before the race, so it's nice to have everything loaded Sunday, and then all you got to deal with is 100 other things with the, you know, the 30-year-old toter home and trailer.
Yeah. Plus your regular, you know, being a business owner and having a family and everything else.
Yeah. So I try to work Monday through Thursday on race weekends and do as many hours and get as much work done as I can, you know, before I'm not going to be there Friday. And, you know, I might take a, you know, sometimes you have to take a half day Monday, or you're there all day Monday, but you're just not as productive because you got in a huge wreck and you're in a bunch of pain. So, but yeah, physically I'm doing better. I have a lot of black and blue marks, and a lot of things hurt. So, but yeah, I'll be 100% by Crandon, I think. So, I guess that's all that matters. I don't know.
When we talked on Monday after the after you rolled over Monday after Antigo, you described racing as like battle bots that you drive. I thought that was a perfect analogy. I mean, is that like the perfect description of especially how physical it is in super stock?
Yeah, it's pretty crazy physical when you're pushing those trucks as hard as you can. You know, they really, you know, they drive pretty smooth if you're not like throwing them sideways in the corners and launching off of jumps too hard and hitting the whoops, like trying to get some extra speed and, you know, just slamming into them and doing an endo. And, you know, it's when you're, you know, the class is so crazy competitive from first place to last place that, you know, that's just one of the things. You know, there's nobody cruising around having fun in the class, and, you know, you just, what you're trying to get out of. I always compare the trucks to handling like log wagons. You know, they're not wide. You know, they're really heavy, and they don't really have enough horsepower, I don't think, for how much they weigh. And you just beat the heck out of them, and so they beat the heck out of you, like, all race.
Yeah, I don't know if race fans, especially the casual fans, appreciate that it's a 4,000-pound truck, so it weighs as much as a Pro 2, but you're on, you know, 12 inches of suspension with, you know, a handful of 2.0 shocks or one 3.0 shock per corner.
Yeah, your shock, you're trying to get your shock to do everything, and they're limited on what they can do. And, you know, we're running basically stock-type springs and stock-type suspension. And, you know, the trucks don't, they do, I mean, when you watch them on the track, one of the cool things is they, you know, they look like a pickup truck, you know, that you owned in high school or you own now, and they kind of drive like that and race like that, and you know, that's a lot of the value that the fans get out of it. But yeah, on the other hand, I mean, you know, my daily driver has more horsepower. And, you know, but you just gotta get the power to the ground and do so many little things, and everybody in the class has, you know, every spare you can think of, and, you know, all kinds of, you know, they're always screwing with every little thing they can to make extra power, and every one of us is on some type of budget too, so we're all making it work, and we're all bringing our families to the races, and I don't know, driving the crap out of these, you know, jalopy pickup trucks. I don't know. Yeah. So it's a lot of fun, but you know, it's definitely, they're always a rough, you know, pretty rough ride, you know, for the most part, if you, you know, when you're pushing them.
So since you got back into racing a few years back, you've always run that the older style, the step side body on your truck, and you've talked to me a lot about you want sportsman racing to have that classic look to it. Where does your love for that old school racing come from?
Just being a fan. I guess a history nerd about all kinds of stuff, but especially racing. Just from reading up on and watching all the old races I can possibly find. I mean, I buy any book related to off-road racing, magazine, you name it, and read it. And I've always been that way. And if I see something on eBay, some off-road racing book for kids from the 70s, I freaking buy it. And and so my favorite genre of racing is the late 80s, early 90s, well, two, late 80s, early 90s Soda and Mickey Thompson series. And I modeled my truck, you know, it's the exact body, basically, that Jack Flannery ran before he went to Chevy.
Sure.
I love it. It's just an awesome body. And then I did all my bumpers and Nerf bars to be real Mickey Thompson stadium style, you know, and the Soda bumpers were a little cheesy at that point, so I didn't straight up copy their bumpers, you know. They were more, running more wide open and not banging into each other a lot like Super Stock is now, so you wouldn't want to run that style setup now, you know. Your truck would be, you know, beat the crap every race. But yeah, I always like to say, like, you know, the Super Stocks, you know, they're awesome. They're awesome to watch, and they're real competitive, but they shouldn't look like, you know, a slow Pro 2 with a Pro 2 body on it, or a slow Pro Light with a Pro Light body on it. I love it to look like, you know, I want the fans to, like, look out there and feel like, to me, like, when they see my truck, I want to think that they're, they're like, it's like a flashback, and, you know, it's like, you know, Jack Flannery's truck is launching off the jump, and because we're doing like similar speeds to what those guys were doing in that time period. And I do hear, you know, I got a crazy amount of fans that come by our pits every race. They, you know, that's one of the main things they say is that they just absolutely love watching my truck because it's, you know, reminds me of being them being a kid with their dad watching the races or their favorite race and heavy metal race in 1989 or whatever. You know, it's cool to bring that part back to the sport.
Yeah, and you talked about late 80s, early 90s, and the Soda Series at that time, and that, you know, that's like the era that I grew up in. So I was a little kid with my hands up to the chain link fence, you know, watching, like you said, Jack Flannery, Walker Evans, Robbie Gordon, all those guys. So I certainly appreciate that. I guess you're kind of carrying the flag for that era of racing.
Yeah. And I'm not the only one, you know, there's obviously other guys in our class and other classes that really get into the stuff, but I definitely dive into it pretty head first and try to be, you know, as retro as possible and still try, you know, still trying to find our way to the front, you know, at the same time.
Yeah. So looking ahead to Crandon in a couple of weeks, you actually had a really good run at Crandon last Labor Day where you were, you know, fighting for a podium spot up with Kenny Wilson, who had pulled the whole shot. So do you have some optimism about going back to Crandon here in a few days?
Yeah. So believe it or not, that race, we were running we bought an old stock car engine, and that's why it smoked so much, and it was like a $1,200 engine, and it was funny. And I just run the living crap out of it, and I know we could use a little more horsepower. You know, guys aren't running old stock car motors, you know, that are running up front, and that particular race too, we a rock broke off my brake line in turn one, and I was actually dicing back and forth for the lead with no brakes, which was pretty sketchy, but unlike the Antigo race, I wasn't, there was only one turn I was counting on them where I, just was really surprised. You know, the first time I went to the gravel pit, if you watch that race, I go like way to the back of the turn and then turned and came back up, and it's, you know, I went to stab the brakes and the truck, you know, there's nothing there. But at Crandon, it's not so dangerous, you know, to not have brakes. So we made it work the best we could, but after the caution, we had a couple trucks that passed us, and I was trying to race clean, and they all bunched up in Cowboy Corner, and I was going to pile drive into the back of Kyle Cooper. So I like threw the truck sideways on the inside, and then it blew the steering box apart. You know, it was like skipping like a stone sideways and blew the steering box apart. And then I hit into the side of Kyle and spun my truck around, which I couldn't steer, and somebody else hit me, and, you know, they had to pull me off the track. You know, a 4,000-pound truck being thrown sideways at, you know, 80 miles an hour, does, you know, the stock steering box, you know, gears.
Sure. Not quite OEM parts, not quite built for that kind of abuse.
No. But I'm, you know, I'm happy I didn't pile drive in the back of people and cause an accident, you know, I guess. So I would have rather passed them and not wrecked my steering box. But, you know, sometimes that's the way it goes.
All right, so the last, I guess, topic I have for you, and then I can let you be on your way. So you brought up Kyle Cooper. You've been known to mix it up a little bit on social media with Kyle Cooper and Sam Jocks. So out of the three of you, you're the first person to come on the Champ Off-Road podcast. So I'm going to give you the floor, and you can, this can be your pro wrestling moment where you call out those guys.
I guess I'm not sure where to go with that. I love giving them crap because they're all youpers, and I like to, I don't know, play into the, I joke around that they don't have schooling and they're, the women up there have beards and they fill their soup with sawdust and drive skidders to the track and,
I got to say, I really thought you'd take this opportunity to like go full pro wrestler and, I'm coming for you, brother.
Man, I don't know if I'm that good. I probably need a couple, cuts, like a movie where they do, cut three, cut four, cut five before I get it right. So I guess I don't think Sam has anything for me if I have my truck together, and I want him to know that. And, Kyle's always fast, and if I'm up there racing with Kyle, we're doing good, So he's a good driver, and, obviously his dad knows how to build a motor. But Sam's from way up north in the UP, and I don't think he even has, like, electricity or running water. I don't know how they even know about the races,
I honestly can't think of a better way to end our interview than you just talking trash to Sam Jocks. It doesn't get much better than that, honestly. All right, so you said earlier that, you were describing exactly how much work goes into even, keeping your program moving forward throughout the summer. And I know there's a lot of people that help you along the way, so I'll give you a chance to thank all those people.
Yeah, my main sponsors, my company, or part of my company, Fresh Hour Attachments. We make skid steer buckets, forks, custom attachments, huge grapples, for wheel loader, snow pushers, you name it, out of our weld shop where we do also custom fab and stuff. And Envision Inc. Sponsors us. They do custom printing, pretty much everything you can imagine printing-wise, cut vinyl, printed vinyl, custom signs, printed books, weird projects. I've seen them do just all kinds of crazy projects with different types of sign engine and stuff, and just really cool printed stuff. And they do some website art type stuff and website graphics too. Best Machine and Graphics, they do a company that's been with me for a couple years. Good friend of mine, and he does Cerakoting on guns and like really cool custom gun stuff. He's kind of crazy guy. You got to check out his website and see what it's all about. But he's always thinking of and making new stuff and doing cool stuff. And General Tire and Alpaca Tactical. So, and that's it.
Awesome. Well, thanks again for joining us. Once again, this is Willie Freshour, Wildman Willie from Super Stock Truck. You may have seen him upside down at Antigo a few days ago. And Willie, again, best of luck to you in Crandon. Thanks a lot.
Thank you. All right.
Thanks again to both of our guests on this episode. For Brent Smith, I'm Shane Stetsny, and we'll talk again soon.
Thanks for listening to the Champ Off-Road Podcast presented by AMSOIL.